Brother Silas will be back this week. Maybe you can get that thing adjusted. It does fine until you turn that recorder on, and all of a sudden the volume goes sky high. Don't know why. But we'll get it. We'll survive, I hope. Amen. Turn with us again this morning. 1 John. 1 John chapter 3. We want to pick up where we left off last Sunday. 1 John chapter 3, starting at verse 3. Well, let's just back up and start at verse 1. Amen. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Amen. You may be seated. There's so many tremendous truths in this scripture reading this morning. Amen. Brother Jerry, you want to get me some water? I appreciate that. Fresh water in here. When we read the Bible, we need to understand two things. One, God is holy. Two, sin is black. And when we come to the realization how awful sin appears in the eyes of God, God, when he looks at sin, he frowns. God hates sin, though he loves the sinner. And we ought not ever lose sight of the fact that God loves sinners. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. So I'm glad that God loves sinners. But God hates sin. I don't know as I've ever seen a generation since I've been preaching as what we have to deal with now in American culture. People feel like that they can just keep right on sinning and die and go to heaven when they die. But God is not going to excuse sin, no matter where or who is involved. We sometimes make exceptions because of who it is, or they are our friends or related to us. But God never excuses sin. To God, sin is despicable. It is because of sin that we have the vast amount of crime that we've got in America right now just because of sin. And because of Adam and Eve partaking of that fruit, that forbidden fruit in the Garden of Eden, sin passed upon all human race. We're all sinners. Someone said one time, said, "I'm just a sinner saved by grace." If you're saved by grace, you're no longer a sinner. And if you're sinning, you're not saved by grace. Help me here. I mean, I just read that to you out of the Bible. Amen. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. Amen. And there's no excuse in God's divine providence of salvation. There's no excuse for us to have to sin. God's grace is sufficient. Amen. Paul writes to us, and you've heard the verse. It's an old verse that you've heard many times. Paul writes to us in the book of Titus. There's no excuse for sin, you hear me? For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us or instructing us or telling us, teaching us that denying ungodliness, denying it, come on here, denying it, ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. God, by his divine plan of salvation, has indeed made it possible that we can live free from and above sin. Now, the reason people are sinning is because they want to. Amen. Whosoever you yield your members to obey, his servants you are. Amen. So we have a choice. You don't have to follow sin. I remember a few years ago there was a little saying going around, and it became very popular: the devil made me do it. Well, the devil is the author of all sin. The devil sinneth from the beginning. But you have a choice that you make in your own heart and life. And because of that choice, you yield your life or your members of your body to whoever you want to be your master. Amen. That's either God or the devil. And you don't have to follow the devil. You don't have to listen to the devil. You don't have to do what the devil tells you to do. You do have a choice. Thank God we do have a choice. Amen. And so we want to pick up. Last Sunday morning we talked to you about the way that sin begins. And it began in the universe by the fall of Lucifer. Out of Isaiah chapter 14, we talked about that. We talked about sin began in the world by Adam and Eve's rebellion in Genesis chapter 3. And then in Romans chapter 5. Amen. And then we talked to you about sin begins in the individual because the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, and also Matthew chapter 15, verses 18 and 19. We started in the second point, the way sin causes individuals to act. Amen. And sin, are y'all still with me? Sin causes individuals to act deceitfully. Amen. In Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13, but exhort one another daily while it is called day, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And sin itself is not only deceitful, but it makes you become deceitful. And that's where the individual starts. The act of deceitfulness is a result of sin. Amen. Now we want to pick up on the next train of thought this morning. Sin causes individuals to act lustfully. Amen. And if I remember right, I think last Sunday we dealt with James chapter 1, verse 14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. I'm talking to you this morning. Continue to talk to you on part 2 about sin. Amen. The origin of sin and how it causes individuals to act. But we want to pick up this morning on 2 Peter chapter 2. And verse 10, Ricky, I want you to read that, and I want us to look at this verse. If you have your Bibles, you can turn over there if you want to, in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 10. Amen. Read, Ricky.
But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanliness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities.
Wait a minute. Hold it right there. Amen. But chiefly, this is the main thrust of this matter. Chiefly. Amen. This is not the end of the line. This is the first thing we need to consider. Them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness. Amen. And despise government. Presumptuous. And I want to deal this morning with this word presumptuous. I think it's very important to us. Presumptuous are they. Self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Amen. Presumptuous. I want to talk to you for just a minute or two this morning on that one word of presumptuous. Amen. And here in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 10, presumptuous, it means a daring, audacious, reckless, bold man. Amen. Contemptuous of law, contemptuous of religion. Amen. Webster says, now that's Strong's definition. Webster says, overstepping due bounds, taking liberties, disregard of normal restraints. Amen. And Ricky, I want you to turn over to Psalms 19 and verse 13. Amen. when we talk about presumptuous sins, that's not only talking about premeditated, you thought about it before you did it. Amen. But rather, presumptuous, you're daring, you're reckless, you have a contempt for restraints and for law, for order. Amen. You dare to go beyond the bounds or the limitations. Amen. So we have a generation on our hands in America right now, and even not just out there in the secular world, but right in the church world, we have a generation that dares you to talk about their sin. Just dares you, amen, to reprove them, to tell them they're going to hell if they commit sin. It is a reckless mentality. It is a contempt for anything that is right. Amen. Are y'all still with me this morning? We have a generation on our hands right now that'll cuss in one breath and tell you they're going to heaven in the next. Smoke cigarettes and live like the devil and tell you they're saved just as much as you are and going to heaven. But I want to tell you, if that's true, it's not. But if it were true, everything in the Bible is a lie. Amen. Let every man be a liar and let God be the truth. The Bible is right. When all the dust is settled and our opinions are given and everybody gets through with their arguments, amen, you still have to come back to the basic principles of what God's Word said. Amen. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. And he that committeth sin is of the devil. You can't get much plainer than that. Amen. And in Psalms 19, verse 13, won't you read that, Ricky?
Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins.
Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Amen. And when David used this word presumptuous here, he means arrogant sins, proud sins. I have never seen such a proud, arrogant generation in all of my life that when you start talking to them about, amen, what they're doing, how they're living, amen, they become very defensive and arrogant and proud. Don't talk to me. I'm just as good as anybody else. But I want to tell you, amen, sin is damning. Sin will take you to hell. Sin will destroy you. Sin separates you from God. Sin, amen, is deceiving. Sin will deceive you. Amen. Did not the devil, amen, did not Lucifer deceive Eve into eating of the forbidden fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil? And you've heard me say this before, and it fits right here, so I'm just going to share it with you again. Amen. The reason that tree of knowledge was forbidden, amen, because it had both kinds of fruit on it, good and evil. And any time you mix good and evil together, it becomes forbidden. There is no relation between good and evil, between right and wrong. There is a gulf between righteousness and unrighteousness as deep, amen, as the bottomless grave, amen, that winds up in eternity. Sin is forbidden. Help me here. Amen. You cannot mix good and evil and come out, amen, being right. It's impossible. Amen. There's no connection between good and evil. Amen. It's black or it's white. Amen. Now, God's word establishes principles of right and wrong. We are the ones who have mixed right and wrong together and come out with a gray. We mix black and white, and we say it's not too bad. Amen. We say humanity says, well, the Bible doesn't explicitly say that this particular thing is wrong and sinful. Amen. So it must be all right. But you see, there are principles that is laid out in the Bible. Amen. The internet is not mentioned in the Bible. Yeah, come on here. No, it's not. There are a lot of things. Cigarettes are not mentioned in the Bible. Jack Daniel's liquor is not mentioned in the Bible. Come on. Somebody say amen. There are many things that are not mentioned per se by their name. But there are principles that is laid out in the book. Amen. If we read this Bible and believe what it says and it teaches, it leads us into the paths of righteousness. And to violate those principles, come on here, to violate those principles leads us all the way back, amen, to the breaking of one of the Ten Commandments. Amen. Without fail, you can trace that train of thought, amen, by mixing the two together to say, well, this is not too bad. I want to tell you, when you do that and you violate the principle, amen, in God's book, you have destroyed the principle, amen, of living righteous. Amen. Help me here. I know television's not mentioned in the Bible. Amen. But there are principles that is laid out in the Bible. Amen. The psalmist said, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. Amen. Amen. Help me here. I know your particular particular case may not be mentioned, but when you read the scripture, I'm amazed at the number of people in our generation that does not even read the Bible. They don't read it. They don't. They go to church. They're religious. They go to, amen, their church, and they just depend upon somebody else to tell them, amen, and come on here. And if their preacher or says you're doing good, just, amen, keep on going. Never mentions sin. Never mentions what they're doing is wrong. Amen. Well, my preacher said it's okay. But what about God? What about the Bible? Amen. That is the final authority on any subject when it comes to heaven or hell. Amen. Come on here. Amen. And ye know that he was manifested, Jesus was manifested to take away our sins. And in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him and is in Christ sinneth not. N-O-T. Come on here. Hit me here. Sinneth not. Amen. And I want to say here this morning, whoo, I'm feeling better anyhow. Amen. Christ came to take away our sins. And if you still have sin, or you're still committing sin, or you're still doing sin, it is proof that you have not truly repented of your sin. Amen. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sin, and in him that is in Christ, amen, is no sin. Help me here. It shocks me, amen. It really does. I've heard good men, and sometimes good preachers that I like, amen, make the statement that so-and-so, amen, they've been doing something, and I know it's a sin, and they've been sinning for 10 years. Amen. But they'll probably go to heaven when they die. I said, if that is true, then everything in this book, in these scriptures that I have read to you this morning, amen, is not true. He that committeth sin is of the devil. That's pretty strong. Amen. That's not what I'm teaching to you. That's what God's Word says. Amen. Amen. And we have a generation right now in our American culture, and I fear that it is strongly becoming effective in the Pentecostal and holiness churches. Amen. That they feel like that they can sin a little bit every day. And that little bit becomes a whole lot after a while, because the heart is corrupt and vile and wicked. Amen. Still die and go to heaven when they, amen, leave this world. But I want to tell you, sin is of the devil. If you don't get anything else, I tell you this morning, you get that. Sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. Amen. Ah, presumptuous are they, contemptuous of law, contemptuous of, amen, any limitations, amen, overstepping due bounds, taking liberties, disregard for normal restraints, amen. And that's what the psalmist was saying to us, deliver me from this attitude of my presumptuous, reckless, arrogant, proud sin. Amen. So, sin causes individuals to become lustful. Sin causes individuals to become rebellious. In Deuteronomy chapter 9, Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 7. Ricky, turn over there. I want you to read that. And while he's turning over there, in Luke chapter 15, amen, verses 11 through 13, and everybody knows the story about the prodigal son that left his father's house and went into a far country. It's nothing new. You've heard the story many times over. Amen. But sin will cause you to act in a rebellious manner. And let me say this, amen, that prodigal son, when he was getting ready to leave his father's house, amen, he said, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. It's mine. I want it. And the father gave it to him. Now, I want to tell you, God will not make you live right when you don't want to live right. No, you won't. He's given you a power of choice. Is it possible that the father could have said to his prodigal son, no, I'm not going to do it. No, you're not getting it. You hear me? Amen. Come on here. This son rebelled against his father's instructions and limitations. He wanted to do his own thing. Give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And his father gave it to him. Now, I'm going to see if I can say this in the right context. You see, God gave us the power of choice. I can if I want to. Come on here. I can serve God with all of my heart if I want to. Or if I choose, I can serve the devil and sin and the flesh and the lust. That's my choice. But I've seen many people, come on, I'm going to talk to you or get right down where we are this morning. I've seen many people that make the choice and rejoice that God let them. I have the right to choose. You can. This abortion thing, amen. And are y'all still here? Amen. This abortion thing, you know, they call themselves pro-choice. Pro-choice. It's my choice. It is. But the strange thing is, God lets them make that choice. Huh? God leaves them to make that choice without ever trying to stop them other than dealing with their heart. They ought not to do it. But God lets them do it because it's their choice. But when the repercussions come and the consequences come of what they have done, then they want to blame God for it. Huh? It's God's fault now. Amen. Because all this trouble's come. Amen. And I don't know how many women that have had an abortion. Amen. They go through trauma afterwards. Amen. They sometimes have to have psychiatric help and treatment. Amen. Are y'all still with me? Amen. Because of of what they have done at the moment they were doing it, the choice that they made, they never thought about the consequences. They never dealt about the consequences. They never gave it even a thought that sometime down the road they're going to wish to God they had never had that done. Amen. The trauma, the mental anguish, amen, that comes with of what they did. Now they want to blame God. Why did God allow me to have these kind of thoughts? It's God's fault now. It's really not. It's your fault because of you made the choice. Amen. Amen. And the consequences of our sin is what the devil never wants you to see before you make the choice. Years ago, I dealt with a man. Amen. He had done a terrible thing. And if I was telling you who it was, you'd know him. Amen. I ain't telling you. It's none of your business. Praise God. Isn't that good to say that? But he did a terrible thing. And he said to me, sometime later, I mean quite a while later, matter of fact, several months later, he had repented and got it fixed and asked God to forgive him. Amen. And he said to me one day, he said, why don't people leave me alone? Why do people talk about me? Why do people say things? Why don't they forget it? Come on here. I said, that's the consequences. The wages. That's part of the wages. The effects. The consequences. That's anguish. That's mental torment. Amen. Come on here. And it's not always church people. Just run-of-the-mill people out there. Secular people on the job say things to you, amen, about past sins in your life. Amen. And they'll bring it up to you later down through the years. Amen. And you say, why don't they forget it? Because that's part of the consequences. That's what the devil does not want you to see before you make the choice. There's always after effects. There's always consequences that goes with that sin, that choice to make sin what it is. Amen. No wonder the Apostle Paul in his writing said to us emphatically, oh, that men would see sin as exceedingly sinful. If they could just understand that there's consequences to pay. Yeah. You hear me? Did you know? Help me, Lord. I'm in deep water this morning, but I'm telling you what the Bible said. Did you know that the Bible said that the sins of the father is visited on the second, third, and fourth generation? There's consequences that the devil never wants you to see. And I'm of the opinion if we could see what lies down the road because of the choice for sin in the world that we have made, many of us would have never taken that road. And when the prodigal son got down the road and he wound up in the hog pen, amen, he came back to his father and said, make me as one of the hired servants. Not even worthy to be called your son. Now I want to tell you, there's a vast difference in the attitude that that prodigal son left with and the attitude he came back with. Amen. And when we understand that sin has its consequences. I don't know how many through the years of preaching and pastoring church here and other places as well. I don't know how many people has come to me and said, Brother Savage, if I had only known what the consequences would have been, I would have never, ever made the wrong choice. But the devil don't want you to see the consequences. In Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 7,
remember and forget not how thou provokest the Lord thy God to wrath in the wilderness from the day that thou didst depart out of the land of Egypt until ye came unto this place. Ye have been rebellious against the Lord.
Sin causes rebellion. It causes people to be rebellious. And sometimes there would have been times in your life that you would have never, ever thought about being rebellious. But when you gave in to that wrong choice, all of a sudden that ugly, ugly head of rebellion made its appearance. Rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. Worse than. Man. I mean, witchcraft is horrible. Come on here. Witchcraft is horrible. But did you understand that God regards rebellion worse than the sin of witchcraft? Man, man, when you look at sin the way God looks at sin, and God sees sin, amen, all of a sudden you take on a whole new perspective. Amen. And I'm rebelling against authority because of sin. I'm acting the way I'm acting because of sin. Amen. I'm doing what I'm doing because of sin. Amen. And the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Amen. And sin will cause you to rebel against God. Sin will cause you to rebel against mom and daddy. Sin will cause you to rebel against the church. Sin will make you rebel against the preacher. Sin will make you rebel against God's book. Amen. Sin is, amen, that ugly head of rebellion is not the problem. It's sin that is the problem. Amen. Amen. All right. The way sin affects God. And let's see how sin has an effect on God. Amen. Let me see here. I think we want to do something else before we get there. Sin leaves individuals guilty before God. Romans chapter 3 and verse 19. I didn't give Ricky all these scriptures before time. He wouldn't have had enough room to hold them all anyhow. Amen. Romans chapter 3 verse 19 makes you guilty before God. Amen. Read it.
Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God.
The whole world becomes guilty before God. It's not that I don't want to be guilty. You are guilty because of sin. Amen. Whatsoever things the law saith. Amen. The law. What law? God's law. God's law. Somebody said to me one time, said, Brother Savage, amen, the Ten Commandments belong in the Old Testament. Now, I got news for you, my friend. Every one of the Ten Commandments, with the exception of one, is rehearsed in the New Testament. And the principles of it is rehearsed in the New Testament. Amen. Thou shalt not steal. The New Testament put it in a little different word, but it's the same thing. Let him that stole steal no more. Amen. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Amen. The New Testament said all liars shall have their part in the lake, the fire that burneth with brimstone. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Amen. Am I doing all right this morning? The New Testament made it stronger than even the Old Testament verse. The New Testament, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, amen, I say unto you, he that looketh upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Amen. That's stronger than the Old Testament. Amen. Amen. So what do you mean, Brother Savage? I'm telling you, amen, this morning that we must come to the realization that sin is horrible. Sin is destructive. Sin will damn your soul in hell. Amen. And no sin is going to enter the celestial city of God. None. Amen. Hallelujah. And God's city is holy. His word is holy. God is holy. His spirit is holy. And his people is holy. Amen. That's going to heaven. Amen. And if you're not holy and your life is sinful, amen, and you're doing things that are wrong, amen, you're not going to that celestial city. Hey, man, you've heard Ralph Cox said, if everybody goes to heaven that says they're going to heaven, God would have to deputize the angels to keep order. Hey, man, and heaven would be as wicked and vile and, hey, man, rebellious. Hey, man, it's what earth is right now. Sin is a holy place full of mercy and of grace. Sin can never enter there. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, hey, man, every individual stands guilty before God. Sin leaves individuals separated from God. In Isaiah chapter 59, amen. Get over there right quick. Amen. Isaiah chapter 59, amen. Read verse 1 and 2.
Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God.
Your what?
Your iniquities.
Another word for sin.
Have separated between you and your God.
And therefore.
And your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear.
Amen. Amen. Now, either God's word is right and men's lives are wrong. Come on here. Amen. And if men's lives is full of sin and wickedness and iniquity, God said your sins have separated between you and your God, and therefore he cannot, he will not hear your prayer. Amen. I want to tell you this morning, amen, you need to repent of sin. If you intend to go to heaven when you die, you've got to repent of your sin. Amen. Without repentance, without any forgiveness, without mercy, amen, you'll die lost. Amen. And any sin that is unrepented, amen, will carry you into eternity lost. How many sins does it take to make a sinner? One. Let him that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. If any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. All things pass away, and behold, all things become new.
Amen. Somebody say amen.
Ah, and we know that he was manifest to take away our sin, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither know him. Can't get much plainer than that. And you stand guilty before God and you become separated from God because of sin. Amen. Sin leaves individuals condemned before God. We like John chapter 3 and verse 16, and that's a golden text of the Bible, and it is so accurate and true. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. But continue on. Verse 18, he that believeth not is condemned already. You become guilty before God. You become separated from God. And you become condemned by God because of sin. Amen. Let's look at this morning. Ooh, I don't know what I'm going to get through with this morning or not. Amen. The way sin affects God. Amen. I've talked to you about how sin affects you as an individual. How does it affect God? What does God do? Or how does God respond? How does God act? And I want to tell you this morning, amen, God is a jealous God. In 1 Kings chapter 14, Ricky, 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 22, amen. God is a jealous God. Amen. And he wants you to understand that he's a jealous God. You mean, Brother Severs, God? 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 The Almighty God is jealous? Yep. Amen. Read it.
And Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him to jealousy with their sins, which they had committed above all that their fathers had done.
Amen. And they provoked him to jealousy with their sins. 1 Kings chapter 16, amen, verse 2, amen. Not only the sin provoked God to jealousy, but sin makes God angry. Amen. Read.
For as much as I exalted thee out of the dust and made thee prince over my people Israel, thou hast walked in the way of Jeroboam.
God to wrath. Amen.
He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him.
The wrath of God abideth on them that believe not. Now, you can argue with God when you get to judgment day. And every one of us are going to stand before God on judgment day. Everyone. No exceptions. And you can tell God he's not fair because he won't let you go into that celestial city where there is no sin. Amen. But my friend, the wrath of God abideth on them that believe not. God's word is right. Amen. And I want to get to one more before we finish here this morning. And maybe we'll pick up, amen, again later. Maybe next Sunday morning. Amen. Let's look at the way sin is punished. You mean that there is a punishment for sin? I mean, I didn't do anything real bad. No, I didn't do anything real bad. I just got a cookie out of the cookie jar when my mother just told me not to. And her back was turned, or she went in the other room. And something come over me, and I put my hand in the cookie jar, and that cookie stuck to my fingers. And when I pulled my hand out, there was the cookie. And I didn't want to put it back because it's not nice for somebody else to eat cookie that your fingers has already been on. So I just ate it. Now, what would your mama say if she came back into the room right at the time when the cookie was crumbling in your hands and half of it in your mouth? I doubt that she would be very pleased. She probably would not come over and say, "Oh, you sweet little darling, I just love you so much. I know you did what I told you not to, but it's okay. I'll just hug your neck." No. Most of us that have mamas that love us would never do that to us. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And mamas have a way of fixing things. Now, I'm going to tell you. When my mother was young, she used to make fruitcakes. I love fruitcakes. I'm a fruitcake nut. You probably already knew I was a nut, but I mean, I just love good fruitcake. And my mother could pick. I mean, she made the best fruitcakes of anybody. I mean, she, and one year, I forget where we was living, but Mama fixed these fruitcakes and she put them in the dryer because she figures none of us kids could figure out where to find it. She knew I was bad about finding that fruitcake. So she put it in the dryer and wrapped it up in white cloth, maybe a dish towel or something. And she wrapped it up and she thought she hid it. But my smeller just told me where the fruitcake was. I have a knack for smelling fruitcake. And one day, just a week or two before Christmas, Mama went in to get that fruitcake out of the dryer, and there was only crumbs left. I had ate almost the whole thing. She knew exactly where to come. I mean, she knew exactly who was guilty. And she come to me and she said, "Why did you do it?" I said, "Mama, I just got a pinch every day." Needless to say, my mother didn't think that was funny. I thought it was a unique answer myself. But my mother didn't take too kindly to that. And if you can understand this vernacular, she went to town and back. And when she got back from town, it took me a while before I wanted to sit down. Amen. And she didn't do that because she wanted to be abusive. No. She didn't do that because she didn't want me to have any fruitcake. She did that to teach me a lesson that what I did was extremely wrong. And so does God. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And the wrath of God abides upon those who do not follow his precepts. Now, sin is a horrible thing this morning. I want to tell you. You think. Amen. Just because Jack Daniels, but I need another name. John Doe said you're okay, you go to heaven when you die if you're committing sin. I want to tell you, John Doe's wrong. I hate to disappoint you. I hate to tell you. Amen. But John Doe's wrong. I don't care. It don't matter. How many preachers tell you, amen, it's all right. If God says it's wrong, it's wrong. It's still a sin. Amen. And sin is going to be punished. Amen. Numbers chapter 32. And I'm getting ready to close. Numbers chapter 32. Amen. Verse 23. Sin is punished in the wicked, in that sin is discovered in their lives. And amen. Proverbs, I believe it is, said, amen. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. No. Amen. He that covereth or hides it, amen, or covers it up, amen, you're not going to get by. So, you hear me? Amen. If you cover up your sin, amen, you're not going to prosper. But he that confesseth his sin, and then it's not enough to confess it. Amen. Amen. It's good to confess it, but you got to do more than that. Huh? You got to do more than that. You got to forsake it. He that confesseth his sin and forsaketh it shall abundantly have mercy. Right. Amen. And I want to tell you this morning, God is a merciful God. Right. God wants to forgive your sin. God wants to set you free. Right. God wants to cleanse you. Right. God wants to make you fit subject to go to heaven. But he cannot, amen, until you confess it and forsake it. Amen. Amen. Numbers chapter 32 and verse 23. We're going to close here.
But if you will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out.
Be sure your sin will find you out. The wages of sin is death. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Amen. And I want to tell you this morning, amen. Oh, I wish you could get this, that sin is awful. Sin is awful. Amen. Sin separates you from God. Sin will make you despicable in the eyes of God. Though God loves you, He hates your sin. Sin kills and destroys. Jesus gives life. Sin separates. Jesus unites. Sin causes upheavals. Jesus speaks peace. Sin causes sickness. Jesus heals. Sin causes storms of strife, but Jesus brings a calm. Sin causes arguments and divides homes and divides individuals. Amen. But Jesus brings tranquility and unites homes. Sin is a robber, but Jesus is a giver. And I want to emphatically get you this morning to understand that if you are still in the sinning business, amen, the Bible said, you do not know God. Whosoever abideth in Jesus or in Him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen Him, neither known Him. That's what the Bible said. Father, we thank You this morning for Your promised word. We thank You, Lord, for the truth, that ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Thank You this morning for Your word that You gave us instructions. Oh, God, help us this morning to understand whoever sins breaks the law of God, incurs the death penalty. Oh, God, help men and women to understand that they've got to face God and they must have it fixed with You before they leave this world. Oh, God, I pray, Lord, this morning that You'll cause every individual under the sound of my voice come to the realization they need God's help to be an overcomer and victorious over sin for Christ's sake, we pray. Amen. Everybody stand. Let's come pray this morning. If you're not right with God, you can get right. If there's things in your life that is wrong and sinful, you can get it fixed this morning. But you'll have to ask God to forgive you. Confess it before Him and then forsake it. God will abundantly pardon. If you'll take the first step, He'll take two. Amen. Let's pray today.